Okay, I have a short presentation for you today. Welcome to Ethics, Analytics, and the Duty of Care. We're in Module 3, looking at ethical issues in analytics. And this part of the module is called When It is Fundamentally Dubious. And by it here, what I mean is the application or the use of the particular AI or analytics system in question. And so again, we're going to look at the sorts of things that can go wrong, the sorts of ethical issues that come up. The category of fundamentally dubious is one that I've borrowed from a presentation and looking at artificial intelligence snake oil, and it breaks down ethical issues, well, it breaks down the uses of analytics into three categories. One, where there's genuine rapid progress, that's the cases where it works. Another, where it's imperfect but improving, that's the cases where it might not work. And then the fundamentally dubious cases. And you can see in all of these cases that this paper identifies, it's a case of predicting, people committing crimes, people who are at risk, people who are terrorists. But I would argue that the instances of fundamentally dubious behavior go beyond that. And we'll have a look at some of these. Keeping in mind, of course, that this list is not exclusive and that there may be other fundamentally dubious uses of artificial intelligence and analytics. So the first one that we'll look at draws directly from that list, and that's the idea of predicting criminality. And we can lump a number of things into this category. I would also include, for example, predicting juvenile delinquency, predicting whether a child or a student is at risk, predicting whether somebody is going to be a terrorist. And there are several issues with this. One, which I've highlighted here, is that it puts students and families at risk of being unfairly targeted before they've done anything wrong. And, you know, there's a fundamental
of justice here that suggests that people need to have actually committed the act in order to be held responsible for it. Now, it's not 100% true. There are criminal sanctions for things like conspiracy and the like. Nonetheless, suggesting that somebody is going to be liable for punishment simply because of who they are or where they live is inherently problematic. And it's all the more so problematic because of the possibility of feedback loops existing within the system. You begin predicting criminality by a certain group of people, and that results in, not surprisingly, focusing more policing resources on those people. But the very fact that you're focusing more police resources on those people means that you are more likely to catch them doing something wrong. And voila, you have increased criminality. Now, the people themselves haven't done anything different from the people that live elsewhere, but they're being put at greater scrutiny. It's like if you put speeding cameras in one part of the city and did not put them on the other part of the city, well, you're going to discover that all the speeding takes place in one part of the city. And then if you take this data and put that into your analytics, obviously you're creating a false impression. And you're putting people at risk of being unfairly targeted, unfairly charged, when really they're no different from everyone else. So that's what we mean by fundamentally dubious. Similarly, racial profiling. It is arguable, indeed I would argue, that there is no ethical application of analytics to identify specific races for special treatment. Now, the argument could be made to the contrary, that in order to achieve equity, it's necessary to identify systematically disadvantaged groups in order to provide the support and the protection that they need. So, you know, this argument isn't going to be straightforwardly wrong in the sense that it's not obvious that all cases of racial profiling are going to result in fundamentally unethical or dubious practices. Nonetheless, if the purpose of the racial profiling is to do anything other than benefit the people being profiled, then I think that there really is a case of fundamental dubiousness to the application of AI in this case. And again, it's similar to the predictive policing issue, where your predictions about a certain racial profile might create a feedback effect where you apply more scrutiny to them based on what they look like, and this greater scrutiny results in more frequent observations of the behavior that you're attempting to target. Taking the same approach, but now applying big data and increasing analytics to this, results in something called identity graphs. The idea of an identity graph is that you use multiple sources of information in order to construct profiles of specific individuals. Here, for example, on the slide, we see an illustration of such a profile. The person is Mary Smith, and on the left-hand side, we have Mary Smith at home, her full name, including middle initial, her age, date of birth, home address, family, email addresses, cell phone, whether she's registered to vote, and presumably how she's registered in systems that require registration, her interests, and many more things could be brought together. Facebook accounts, Facebook post information, Twitter accounts, shopping habits, credit card purchases, etc. You also have Mary Smith at work, the company she works for, what her gender is, her business identification number, the business name, the address, when it's open, what its website is, the business social media, and so on, sales volume, and possibly even things like her salary, her specialization, her business interests, her business contacts, etc. All of this information is assembled to create a profile that is then fed into an artificial intelligence system or an analytic system in order to perhaps sell her things, in order perhaps to predict when she's looking for a change of career, or perhaps to sell her house, whether she's looking for certain services, to identify how she will vote, to target information and propaganda to her, etc. Again, this creates the case where we're assigning an agency to a person who is not necessarily exercising that agency based on commonalities with other people. An identity graph is useful for analytics only if it is combined with other identity graphs in order to generate these predictions. A secondary factor that's come up with this is that the information about Mary Smith isn't just about Mary Smith. It includes her family, it includes her friends. And so by collecting data on Mary Smith, you're actually casting a fairly wide net of data and therefore drawing conclusions about people who may not have given their consent for you to use their data. And of course, Mary Smith, in this case, may not have given her consent for you to use all of this data. So this sort of practice, and it's hard to say that it's fundamentally dubious because it's so widely used by marketers and political organizations and the like. Yet at the same time, just when presented this way, it does seem to be fundamentally dubious. And AI and analytics based on this practice seem to be doubly so. The discussion of automatic weapons on robots is something that has already occurred in our ethics course. And it is arguable, and I would argue, that the arming of autonomous robots is fundamentally dubious. Nonetheless, just as in the case of identity graphs, it has already begun to happen. We do have cases of autonomous drones being reported to actually being used in armed conflict, and specifically in the Libyan Civil War, the second edition of that. Also, as pictured, we have these armed robot dogs being used as security guards, and one person in the course commented on how the use of the word dog makes it seem like this potentially lethal weapon isn't so scary after all, because, you know, we all like dogs. So, as we'll see in the next section, this sort of use of AI raises all sorts of questions. If you're shot by an autonomous dog, who is responsible for shooting you? Who do you sue? Who has the authority to use an autonomous dog to shoot you? How does that authority come into place? There are all kinds of questions that haven't been answered by society, and yet governments and private agencies are still beginning the process of arming autonomous weapons. Fundamentally dubious. Finally, there's a general class of applications of analytics that can be covered under the heading of when we don't know what the consequences will be. For example, there's a report of a suggestion that colleges should put smart speakers in student dormitories. Now, a smart speaker doesn't just speak. It also listens to what's happening in the room so that it's able to respond to commands and to suggestions, and presumably also pick up information that will be used by advertisers in order to market to the people who use smart speakers. And the question is, we don't know what will happen when we put these into student dormitories. Or as the Biomed Central article says, we simply have no idea what long-term effects having conversations recorded and kept by Amazon might have on their futures. So there are different factors influencing the consequences. There are anticipated consequences, but significantly unanticipated consequences. Some of these will be beneficial and used on a post hoc basis in order to justify the use of the AI in this case. But some of them will not be beneficial. Oh, we don't know how many of each there will be. Also, when we don't know what the consequences will be, we're not prepared to mitigate against the potential of those consequences. We're not prepared to comprehend the impact, not just on the person in question, but on the overall social system. Imagine, for example, that the conversations of students in the dormitory of an elite university are accidentally leaked. Well, I think we can have no doubt that some of these conversations are politically incorrect, to use the currently in vogue euphemism. The students will say things in private that would probably render them unemployable in the future. maybe not all of them. I wouldn't think I was among those. Of course, I would say that. But some of them. And they might not know, they probably would not know, that they're being recorded. There's a fundamentally dubious application of AI here in order to make this work. It's arguable, and I would argue that this simply shouldn't be done, not just because it's inherently wrong, but because we don't know what the outcome of this use of analytics and AI will be. Even if there are no bad benefits, bad consequences, even if it turns out after the fact to have been fine, the argument here is that before the fact, we did not know it would be fine, and we created this unnecessary risk. So that's the end of this short presentation. Again, it's probably possible to add to the list of fundamentally dubious applications of analytics and AI. I think I've covered some of the major ones, and you get the sense here of the sorts of things that come into play when there's a high risk of bad consequences, when accountability and mitigation aren't clear, and when the actual use of the AI creates effects that are magnified beyond what they would be otherwise. All of these create cases where AI and analytics are fundamentally dubious. The next presentation in this series will look at the final set of issues, looking at social considerations of AI, and we'll have that to you shortly. So for now, I'm Stephen Downs. This is the course Ethics, Analytics, and the Duty of Care, and we'll see you again.